Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Mitch Stevens with me, best-selling author of My Life in 1,000 Houses. We're going to talk about his books. We're going to talk about a lot of things that he's been doing and maybe try to make you a little money. This is totally outside of the box, folks. It's a different deal. It's worth listening to. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Hey, Mitch.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Okay, let's talk about some things. I'm very proud of you. We've been friends a long, long time, and I had no idea that you could actually write a whole book, especially not two. And now you're fixing to come out with your third one.
Yeah, you'll really like them too, Scott, because they have really short chapters because my ADD won't let me write a long chapter.
So you're saying I could read them too.
Yeah, you could read them too.
So yeah. And I heard you say one of our buddies yesterday, you wrote it on about a sixth grade level.
Yeah,
I can understand it too.
Yeah, I write about a sixth grade level so everyone can understand it. I'm famous for my simple, common sense, layman language. You can actually understand what I'm talking about.
But in this book. What? And I think most people appreciate that.
Well, that's good because I can't write any other way.
Yeah. So if you're going to get these books. Okay, let's start with your very first one. You popped out a book. Well, let's do it. You bought and sold a lot of houses. You flipped a lot of houses.
Yeah, well over 1,300 houses in my hometown.
And folks, I'm going to tell you one thing. You do this by working. You don't do this because, oh, he got lucky. And I've heard people, that how does he get so lucky and find these houses? Okay, I'm going to back up. Somebody asked you, how did you have such overnight success on this book?
Yeah, right. I just had to live 20 years and buy 1,000 houses, and then I could be overnight success.
It took 20 years for that overnight success to happen.
Yeah.
So you've done this. But folks, I'm going to tell you one thing, and I was sharing this, but I've been around Mitch a long, long time, and I'll be honest. I go up to somebody, and they say, blah, 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 this, I don't like this, I don't like that. And I kind of, be honest with you, I've walked away and go, you know what, I don't. Like, that's a very nice person. I'm not going to go back. I watched Mitch go there and hear the same thing, go, you know what? He's having a really bad day. I'm going to come back tomorrow and visit with him.
Yeah, I'll come back tomorrow when they're in a better mood.
Yeah, and he does it. So there's a lot of reason that you've had success on the houses, too.
Yeah, we're very sticky. When we know there's a house out there that needs to be bought and there's people and the people need to sell it, we're very sticky. We don't let go of them. Sometimes I buy houses that I talk to them a year or a year and a half ago. So one of the keys is to be consistent, to be very sticky.
Okay, and we've talked to on our last show or one of our other shows, you're talking about basically owner finance.
Okay. Yeah, that's my specialty.
But is that your only way?
No, I bought houses every way in the world. I've bought when we say owner finance, I've bought houses with private money.
Well, let's talk, what do you mean by private money?
Well, you can go borrow money from a bank, and they take a long time, and they want every piece of paper, and they may or may not give you the loan over some technicality. Private people are the people that they probably were worth double what they are right now because they lost half of it in the stock market, and they're never going back. They're probably between 65 and 85 years old, and they can't start over or start a new career or build up another fortune. They're kind of leveled out. And so their money's sitting around in 1% CDs at the bank or less.
Maybe 1%.
Yeah. And they're figuring out that 1% is not even keeping up with inflation. I mean, we don't even need a calculator, right, Scott, to go to the grocery store, buy a loaf of bread and some meat to figure out that inflation's over 3%, mm-hmm. right? And so their savings is diminishing, and they want to go someplace and get a rate of return, but they don't know where to go and not risk it to the nth degree. Everything has risk, but to have a conservative risk level tolerance.
Well, and I would say I still like investing in real estate. You can go see it. You can touch it. You can visit it, whatever.
Yeah, in Bernie Madoff's pyramid scheme, if every single one of those people would have had a first lien on a piece of real estate, none of them would be broke.
That's amazing. So, okay, but you're talking about people borrowing money. A lot of these people are probably a little older. They've been able to save some money. Not necessarily, but so the client wants some protection. How are you going to cover them? How are you going to make sure that they don't lose their money?
Well,
there's risk. You said there's risk in everything.
Yeah, there's risk in everything. But here's where I've tried to limit the risk. You're either going to get paid. I like to give people a first lien in a title policy from the title company, and they get a first lien on the property filed as the lien holder down at the county courthouse.
So they're basically being the bank now.
Yeah, and the difference between the scam artists and the guys that are really doing it right is when they tell you that you loan the money and they hand you those papers, you need to look for the time, date, stamp, and the notarized signature of that county clerk on the bottom of that paper. Yeah. That's what separates the guy who's doing it right from the guy who's just trying to get by. Not do it right. So you want
it recorded.
I want it recorded, and they want to give. And so here's what happens. They either get paid or they get a house.
So you got something no matter what.
Right. And probably they'd make more money if they got the house. Because I buy houses for X percent, and I owner finance them for 2x X%. So the house is worth like double. I average 52%. So if I'm owner financing a house for $100,000, I have $52,000 in it. I only borrowed $52,000. My investor has a lien on the house for $52,000. I'm owner financing for $100,000. So if I make my payments to the guy, he makes an interest rate. If I don't make my payments, he gets the house, and the house is worth a lot of money, a lot more than what he has in it.
So you're talking rates. What kind of rates? You know, we mentioned 1%, which I think that's high on a CD right now.
The CDs that the bank are paying 1%, yeah.
So what kind of rates are you going to put on this house, this note you're going to own or finance?
So when I borrow money from private people, I like to do something that's fair. If I get them to go in at too low of an interest rate, you know, then they're always shopping for a better rate. If I go in, if I get too high for me, you know, they're always shopping. So I try to find a middle of the road. I like to borrow 8%. Interest only 5 years. 8% interest only 5 years. You either get paid 8% on your money or you get my house. And now that being said, Scott, I want to tell you something. I'll put my hand on a stack of Bibles on this. I have never given a house to anyone in my career. I've never been foreclosed on in my career. I never filed bankruptcy in my career. I've paid every bill I ever had, just like you. Every bill, even when it hurt, even when I didn't even think it was right that I had to pay it, I paid it. So I've never given a house back to anybody. So the chances of, if you've got designs to loan me money because you want to get these houses from me, that wouldn't be a good plan because you're probably just going to get paid.
But there's a reason people keep, you know, I know you've talked, you had one investor that basically says has loaned you the same $1 million about 4 or 5 times.
Oh, no, about 40 times in my career. I mean, wow. I think he's loaned me the same $1 million. You know, he's loaned it out to me and I've paid him back, probably in 20 years, probably 40 times.
When you take that kind of money or that kind of investment, you know, getting an 8% return versus a 1% return, you're talking a lot of money difference for the investor.
Yeah, eight times.
One reason I wanted you to come to San Angelo, and I appreciate you driving down here to do this with me, but your whole thing, I'll tell you what made me think of it. I'm not a big basketball fan,
yeah,
but I watched the last game, LeBron James, and they had a segment on him. The LeBron factor of what he did for the city of Cleveland. You know, his one deal, his one influx, the money, the charities, the things he does. Mm-hmm. And it made me think of you. That's when I called you. You know, I was talking later and I said, you know what? You have people from wealthy people that are getting investments. So they benefit from this program. You're getting neighborhoods which need
I'm changing the feel of neighborhoods.
And you're getting people that probably couldn't go to a bank and get a house that can now have the pride of home ownership. So you're actually helping with your little niche, the Mitch Steven niche, the whole spectrum, which is
it goes way. I actually wrote a paper on it called the win-win solution. I'm also increasing the taxes that the government agencies are be able to collect because when I fix up houses or
which
when I sell houses,
the whole community.
Yeah, the tax assessment goes up by drastically. And I move product. I employ contractors. Every time a product sells or any time a check gets written to a contractor, taxes are paid and other families get fed. Trucks have to roll. Tires have to be bought. I mean, housing moves the whole economy.
So one reason I wanted you here, so basically if somebody said, you know, I want to do some investing. You're listening to the show right now. They're saying that, this show fits them, you know. I got some houses I need to get rid of, and I don't have the money or the need or the time or the desire to fix them up. I just want to get rid of them. I'm not going to smell bad. I don't care. I just want to get rid of them. Or I need a house, and I've had some tough times, but you know I'm a good person.
And I want to own a home.
All of them can fit this mold right.
Yes, and also I help people that have I'm really good at helping landlords transition from collecting rent and being liable for everything on the chart, from air conditioner to roof to windows. I help them transition from being a landlord to being an owner financier. I can teach you how to not have to be responsible for everything about that house anymore. As an owner financier, when you owner finance your houses instead of rent them, you become the bank. And the bank is responsible for one thing, collecting the payment. They're not responsible for anything else.
Well, and let's be honest, me and you included. Okay, we both have pretty decent trucks. Mm-hmm. Notice we both park them kind of out a little bit. We make sure we don't pull over. Somebody's going to knock the crud out of the door or something.
Yeah.
But if we go to San Francisco and we rent a car real quick, where do we park it? Do we
care? It don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So the difference in owning something and taking care of it and renting something, there's just a different mindset.
Yeah, well, you're hitting on one of the major topics is that the renter mindset and the owner mindset is two different things. And how I transitioned from being a landlord and why I transitioned from being a landlord to being an owner financier was because the mindset of the owner is so much more advantageous to me in my point of view. Renters live in houses, tear them down, and move out. Owners move into houses, fix them up, and stay.
And that's not true 100% of the time. There's some people that have been lifetime.
There's always exceptions. There's always exceptions.
But for the majority, that's a true statement. Yeah. And you know, one thing that I still surprised, and I still think we need to get together and do another little deal, because I used to do a seminar, which you haven't tagged on, and I want to get, we're going to take a break, but I want to talk about your books next. But folks, the difference too is there's a tax advantage. There's huge tax advantages. That, in fact, the government's trying to take them away. I just came back from Washington to defend that, to be able to write interest, write your mortgage interest deduction. It's a huge deal. And that adds all into here too. So
renters are much better off if they become owners, and there's ways to get it done besides the traditional ways.
And sometimes the traditional way just doesn't work.
It doesn't sometimes for some people.
And I will tell you this. In fact, you saw that, and we have some good local lenders here, and I love our local lenders. But the Dobbs Frank, and you've heard me talk about it on the radio show several times, and usually with a gruff voice, because it didn't. This is another way to help people, you know, have the pride of homeownership.
Sure, absolutely.
And does it. So we've got this. You've talked about the down payment. What about the down payment? And Mitch, quite frankly, me included, you know, if I can go borrow some money, I have good credit. But, you know, if you ask me for a couple $1,000s right now, I may have to juggle a little bit. You know, I'm just telling
you. Well, look.
I got kids, you know.
No,